persons in the Western world who become interested in Indian philosophy or Eastern mysticism generally presume that it's all impersonal, that it tends toward an understanding of reality as being all one, spiritual reality is all one, that has been propagated as the acme of Indian spiritualism, for want of a better term. But we, the members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, do not support this. Actually, there are two kinds of impersonal spiritualism. One is voidism. Of course, I'm speaking in very general terms here. One is voidism, for want of a better term. Buddhism is like that. And again, we're speaking in very general terms because Buddhism is a vast panoply of different philosophies. But the general understanding in Buddhism is that material existence, or existence as we perceive it, it's not real in the sense that it's just a combination of different elements. There's no soul. When the elements are dismantled, there's nothing there. The classic example is that if you have a chariot and you remove the wheels and the halter and the sitting place for the driver and the cover, then there's no chariot left. Or you may say that there's a house and it's made of iron, wood, stone, cement, glass. Just remove all these ingredients and there's no house left. So in the same way, they contend that there's no spirit which animates the body. It's just a combination of chemicals. That's what modern scientists generally say also. If you take away the elements from the body no longer exists. And therefore, personality is an illusion. And their idea is that when we dismantle or remove our consciousness from considering it to be all this combination of chemicals, then nothing is left. And of course, I'm speaking very broadly, and different Buddhists have different outlooks, but generally, it tends toward a voidism, that the ultimate aim is nirvana, which is undefined, but it means nothingness, although again, some Buddhists will say it doesn't mean nothingness, but it doesn't mean somethingness either. It's just totally non-definable. There's another kind of impersonalist who say that there is spiritual existence, there is spiritual reality, but that everything in this world is false. Brahma satyam jagan mithya. Brahma, spirit, is truth, and this world is all false. In one sense, that's true, because everything in this world is temporary, so it can't be considered an ultimate reality. And it's also true in as much as Brahma, spirit, is that which animates the world. There has to be a spiritual being inside a body for it to be alive. But the idea that this whole material existence is totally false, totally an illusion. And that when we realize this, we merge into the oneness of undifferentiated spiritual reality. This is called impersonalism, or Kevala Advaitavad, Shankaracharya's Advaitavad, or Mayavad. And again, we're speaking in very broad terms. However, we, the members of the Krishna Conscious Movement, maintain on the basis of the teachings of Bhagavad Gita and all the Vedic literature that spirit is a fact. It's the spirit that animates each body. And although the impersonalists say that now we have form, a material form, but when we're liberated, we merge into the oneness of everything. There's no more form left. But we, the Vaishnava personalists, say that form is eternal, but at the moment, the spirit is covered by an illusory form, not totally illusory, but temporary form. And the illusion is that we identify with this form. The understanding or an example is given that this body is a covering for the soul, just like clothing is a covering for the body. Just like we have shirt, pants, socks, hat. These are designed, or a person accepts a hat which is just the right size for the head, a shirt which is the right size for the torso, pants which are the right length and width for his body shape, socks for the size of his feet. It covers. It's a covering because there's something substantial to cover underneath. Bhagavad Gita explains this. Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, Vasangsi Jirnani Yathavihaya Navani Grihnati Naroparani Tatashirani Vihaya Jirnani Yanyani Sangyati Navani Dehi. The idea is that just like when someone's clothes become old and worn out and useless, you get rid of them, get new ones. So by the arrangement of material nature, when the body is old and worn out, just like you can see the particular body that I, who I'm speaking now, am in, is getting pretty old and worn out. And so we can understand, just like you get new clothes, giving up the old ones, so a new body will be there, giving up the old and useless body that eventually deteriorates completely. In material existence, the body is always changing. As Lord Krishna again says in Bhagavad Gita, Dehino smin yata dehe komarang yovanang jara tata dehantara prati dhiras tatra namuhyati. We get the body of an infant, it develops into the body of an older child, then a youth, then a middle-aged person, then an older person, and death. But someone who is very sober of spiritual understanding doesn't get bewildered and by all these changes of the body. The spirit soul which animates the body, this verse of Gita which I just quoted, says that there's the body and the spirit soul within the body. So the spirit soul which animates the body, it has its eternal spiritual form, but at the present time, it's just like a spark. It's so small that we can't see it. You can try and look at it in a microscope, but you can't see it. One reason being that it's very, very small. Another is that it's not material. It's not visible to material vision. Scientifically minded people say that, well, we can't see the soul. That's a fact. You'll never be able to see it with material eyes because it's spiritual. It's a different kind of phenomenon altogether to that which is material. So being unable to see the soul, being unable to recognize the presence of the soul, not understanding the nature of the soul, which is called Atma in Sanskrit, persons who aspire for the spiritual or aspire for that which is beyond matter, they say that the soul is ultimately formless or that there's no soul whatsoever. The Buddhists or voidists say there's no soul, there's no God, and the impersonalists say that there is God and there is the soul, but it's all in spiritual existence. God and the soul are all mixed up, so that a self-realized person attains the status of God, which is impersonal. God has no form, they say, no personality. But we, the Vaishnavas in Krishna consciousness, say that both God and the individual soul are personalities. We're all personalities, eternally personalities. That just as we are eternal and spiritual, God is eternal and spiritual. But we are tiny, and God is supreme, infinitely large. Qualitatively one, when we talk about the oneness of the spiritual being that we are with God, we accept that in one way, in the sense that we are of the same nature as God. As Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Mamai Vangsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatanaha. All the jivas, jiva is another term which can be used for Atma. All the jivas are eternally parts of Krishna, the Supreme Soul. So we are of the same nature. God is eternal, full of bliss in his pure spiritual nature, and cognizant, full of knowledge. So we spiritual living beings in our liberated situation, beyond the material situation, we are also eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss, but still the distinction is there. God, Krishna, the Supreme, is like a great ocean, and we are just like drops. So just like the ocean and a drop of ocean water are the same qualitatively, they have the same chemical composition. So in the same way, we have the same nature as God, but he is vast, much, much, much greater than us, and we are very small. So this is a simple point to understand. We are spiritual, God is spiritual, he is great, we are small, the small serves the great. So it's not so much a matter of negating material existence and just saying, no, 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 nothing material, it doesn't really exist, everything is all one. But the members of the Krishna conscious movement are living within this material existence, not saying that it doesn't exist at all, but understanding that in human life, we have the opportunity to utilize the situation we are in for spiritual development. And that we can do by utilizing the tongue by chanting Hare Krishna. The tongue is material elements, but we can hear the sound it reverberates. And that sound is a spiritual sound. We can study with the intelligence given by God in this human life, given by Krishna, the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. And by absorbing that, by absorbing the sound of Hare Krishna, the consciousness becomes purified. And we can render service with our hands and our legs to Krishna, for instance, by cleaning his temple, by preparing food to offer to him, by eating food that has been offered to him. So in this way, we don't negate material existence and say that everything is simply illusion, but we say that the illusion is forgetfulness of our eternal relationship with Krishna. And by acting in Krishna consciousness in this world, by serving Krishna with our senses, we negate material understanding and enter into the reality of spiritual existence by serving Krishna. Our present situation is something like being sick, diseased. We have to become healthy. So the idea that when we're in a disease situation, we have form, and when we become free from disease, we become formless. Now, this is the Mayavadi idea, that now we're in illusion, when we become free from illusion, we become formless. But why? Why should that be? The disease is one of not understanding our original position of service in relation to Krishna. It's not that everything just ceases, all personality, all form just ceases when we become self-realized. We keep our form. We don't stop having form, but we come to the healthy condition, realizing our spiritual form, our spiritual identity. It's very strange to think that, well, I have this body which has form, and this body causes so much pain and disease and some pleasure, and it's all illusion, so let's become formless. But the real understanding is muktir hidvanyata rupam swarupena vyavastitihi, becoming free of this material form, which is a perverted reflection of spiritual form. Mukti, moksha means to enter into our real form. We have a real form in the spiritual world to serve Krishna, the original spiritual reality, who is the supreme person. How do we do that? We act in Krishna consciousness, that's all. Just understanding that this world is controlled and owned by Krishna. Ishavasyamidam sarvam. Everything in this world is under the control of Krishna. So we should use everything for Krishna. use everything in this world for Krishna. But if we want to live separately from Krishna, and therefore we try to exploit others and try to enjoy our senses, we become illusioned, we become like criminals. Therefore, injunctions are given in the scriptures to guide us how to act, how to live in this world, in such a way that we become free from this criminal mentality of wanting to enjoy separately from Krishna. This mentality forces us to get one form after another, sometimes a human form, sometimes an animal form, sometimes an insect form, sometimes a tree or a bush. The prescriptions in the scripture, they restrain us from acting in a wrong way. But simply to not act in a wrong way is not the goal of the restrictions in the scripture. Impersonalists, they tend toward austerities. We have to become detached from this world. We shouldn't enjoy any nice food. We should just clam ourselves away from everything in this world. There are injunctions like that in the scriptures to restrain people from exploiting others, from indulging in sensual enjoyment, which binds us to this material world, to restrain us from sinful activities. But the restraints or the austerities are not the ultimate aim of spiritual life. The ultimate aim of spiritual life is to bring us to our real happy position in service to Krishna, not just to shut everything down and then say, okay, everything finished, void, or merge into a oneness, but to revive our original position of loving service to our loving Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Otherwise, in this material world, we're trying to enjoy. By enjoyment, we suffer. Oh, I'm laughing. I shouldn't laugh. By trying to enjoy, we simply suffer. And people who see this think, oh, this attempt to enjoy makes us suffer. Okay, shut down all enjoyment. Or maybe they think, well, I didn't succeed. I wanted to enjoy this world. So now let me become spiritual and become God. But any kind of religious system which is based on enjoying this world or just completely cutting out of this world and imagining oneself to be God, this is not real spiritual life. Yeah, there are religious systems which say, yes, you follow, then you go to heaven, you can enjoy beautiful women, and sounds like a good idea, but it's the same materialistic consciousness. There's nothing truly spiritual about it. And then again, to negate all of this and say, well, it's all false. It didn't work. I tried to enjoy and it didn't work. So it's all false. So just everything is void. But that tendency to enjoy is natural for us as spiritual living beings. It's just that we're trying to do it in the wrong way, that's all. We should understand that we are meant for pleasure, as Krishna, the Supreme Lord, is full of pleasure. We are also meant for pleasure, but he is the Supreme. We are his servants, our pleasure comes in service to him. We can't understand this because we, in our perverted, enjoying materialistic mentality, think, let me enjoy myself. But our real position is as servants of the Supreme, Krishna, who says, Bhuktaram yagya tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhridam sarvabhutanam gyatva mang shantim richati. In this material world, we can get no peace. People turn to spiritual life. They want to negate everything and just become peaceful because they see in this world our attempts to enjoy simply causes agitation to our mind. But if we understand, Bhuktaram yagya tapasam, I am not the enjoyer of this world. Krishna is the enjoyer of everything. And therefore, we should offer all our activities for the pleasure of Krishna. And that way, there's no question of renunciation either. What are we to renounce? Everything belongs to Krishna. Krishna says, Bhuktaram yagya tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram. Krishna is the proprietor of all the worlds. What can we renounce anyway? It all belongs to him. Simply, we have to understand these points. Krishna consciousness is simple to understand. There is God, Krishna, the supreme enjoyer. We are also spiritual living beings, meant for enjoyment. But negativizing everything and saying that everything is all one or all void, this is a great, great mistake. Real spiritual life, as given in the Vedic literatures, means to understand Krishna's supremacy. We are meant for enjoyment in relationship with Krishna, but our whole concept of enjoyment is upside down, inside out, back to front, thinking that I am meant to be the enjoyer. The real pleasure, spiritual pleasure, comes from understanding that I am eternally a person. I have eternal form, eternal activities in the spiritual world where Krishna lives eternally. This is spiritual life. And it's not like the impersonalist monks or the Buddhist monks say, you just have to renounce everything. No, Krishna consciousness is open to everyone in every position. Krishna shangshar karo charyanacha. In family life also, you can serve Krishna. Just give up all the bad habits and make Krishna the center of your life. Don't negate everything, everything all negative. Everything in this world is completely bad. Everything in this world is to be rejected. But rather, use everything in the service of Krishna. We are eternal living beings. We are meant for eternal, spiritual, happy life. That is not negating everything, imagining that we are one with everything, imagining that we are God, but understanding our position as eternal servants of Krishna, as described in Bhagavad Gita and all the Vedic literatures. And how to understand this? Chant Hare Krishna. Associate with devotees who are sane people, who are not in the insanity of trying to enjoy this world or trying to pretend that they are God themselves. Associate with devotees, chant Hare Krishna, serve Krishna, come to our proper understanding of ourselves as eternal servants of Krishna. Spiritual reality is not impersonal. It's not void. We are all eternal persons. We have an eternal spiritual form for the eternal blissful service of Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. whose beautiful spiritual form is two-handed, threefold bending form, playing a flute. There's so much to be said about Krishna. He's not impersonal, he's not void, and nor are we. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama.